Hi, we are here this morning with Allison and Tammy Waring, and why don't you just real quick give us a little update on, why don't you first start and tell us exactly, a little bit about the Officers Fellowship and then what you guys are doing now currently.
Okay, so many of you know OCF, Officers Christian Fellowship, is a parachurch nonprofit that's meant to come alongside the local church to go into places where you need an ID card, an access card, right, to get there. And more than just like, not just at bases and installations, but also when soldiers, sailors, Marines, Coasties, airmen, whatever, when they deploy or go TDY, temporary duty, the people that get to go with them are fellow uniformed members. And so our encouragement as a ministry is that the gospel goes where the Christian laborer goes. And so we are about the business of stirring up prayer, Bible study, Christian fellowship connections so that people don't walk the Christian life in the uniform alone. And so when they come out of the military, they have grown, matured, been developed so that when they go back into their community, they're going to be a part of after they get out there also. Now they've changed, right? And it seems somewhat obvious that someone who comes into the military at 18 or 19, sometimes people come in at 25 and 30, but I mean, that they're coming in a time of life when they are massively changing. They are making worldview decisions. They are deciding that life has meaning and importance beyond entertaining myself. And it's a lot of time that happens while they're, in the uniform. And so just telling Sammy this morning that it's pretty hard to start a conversation with someone about being on mission in uniform for the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ when they haven't even thought through why they're in uniform. Honestly, I mean, it sounds surprising, but people wear the uniform because it's a college opportunity, because they didn't know what else to do, because somebody told them it was a great idea. And then Tammy and I come along and say, like, you ought to be willing to put your life out there for Christ and for the gospel. And they're like, actually, that's not on my brain at all. And it's because they haven't even yet thought about like why they're serving and what they're doing. And so, and I have this tendency to think that everybody has a motivation for serving, and that is not true. And so anyway, so there's times you have to dial it back and say, hey, are you serving because you're willing to serve your nation and lay down your life? Or is this another opportunity? And if somebody's already thought that through, if they have already thought, I'm ready to lay down my life, that conversation is so much easier to explain why we're serving than someone who has not thought that through yet. Anyway, just the honesty of the conversation sometimes is, it's gets lost because there's, we just haven't thought that through. So anyway, that's OCF. And sometimes I get asked, well, is OCF only for officers? The answer is no. OCF exists to work through the leaders that God's put in uniform for the entire military community. And that's, so it's an intentionally small group we focus on for the good of the whole. But we have enlisted members, we have civilian members, we have parents who have joined OCF because they get it, they understand why OCF exists, and they, for example, they might host an ROTC Bible study at a college or university nearby, not because they're in uniform at the moment, but because they're willing to serve those in uniform. And so OCF is a way of making people visible, connecting lives, but we really are focused on that serving military leader, specifically the commissioned officer who the president has given a commission to go serve. And so we build on that because there are only a handful. We're a handful relative to the whole population of the military, right? It's a very small portion, and we are a small staff organization. We don't have much staff. We are looking at the leaders to say, you're the one in uniform, not us. We're out of uniform. You go. We're going to equip, encourage, exhort, so that equip them, give them the tools that we've learned from over the years, encourage them, especially in the light of God's sovereignty, that they're the right calling, at the right place, the right moment in history. You might be weary, discouraged, but now we're going to exhort you to go out and go use the gifts that God's given you for the purposes we have. So, and then let's see the things that Tammy and Allison are doing. So we are more regionally focused now. So in past years when we visited you, Do you remember, Julie, the last time I visited with you? What month that might have been? It must have been spring
Yeah, I was
or.
thinking late winter or
Okay.
spring.
Okay. So at that point, I was still a director of field engagement. And I looked at our executive director and I said, you do not need me to be a director. A director, it meant I had to go to the budget meetings, I had to go to the strategic planning meetings. And that meant I was traveling the same route, sometimes with Tammy every year, like, because we would do these meetings in the same places. And so I was seeing the same people, but that was binding several weeks a year in one direction that I had no freedom to go somewhere else. And when you look at 52 weeks a year and you're looking at, we also like to, care for kids and grandkids and be in Montgomery. That was taking some time. So we are now regional coordinators and we just made that term up while I was the director of field engagement. So I'm doing what we made up while I was doing it. And, meaning we broke the country, we've broken the country up into multiple parts. We have a, just had great volunteers come along. Most of them are volunteers. A couple are salaried, but we have areas of the country now with volunteers who now travel in that region. The idea is build relationships within that region rather than having House and Tammy traveling the whole country, which in 2013 to 18, that's what we were doing, traveling the whole country. And then we started pitching this idea. And then over the last 2 years, we now have, I hear figures like 75 to 80%. I've not measured the country, but about 80% of the country is covered by a regional coordinator. So we are in the middle of the country, but it's still really big. So I'm praying that God will bring along somebody else because to get to Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, those kind of states, we're going to have to be gone for a while. You can't jump on the road and be there tomorrow. So it's at least a 2 day trip to get up there and then duration. So we still are going to be gone on some longer trips, but our hope is that we can focus in on this Carolinas, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana kind of region more intentionally. We still have Texas, which is by the that's where we were last week. And it's a long ways to get to Texas. And then you got to zoom on back to be here on time for Sunday worship. So that's a busy trip. But that's what we're doing now. We're traveling still, but we are doing it more regionally focused in the middle of the country. And the idea is to go in and do that idea of equipping. But some people show up and we're just there to encourage them. They are hanging on for dear life. There's not much equipping going on, but we're just encouraging them. Others, they've got all their skill sets. They are squared away and they need to be exhorted. They need to be kicked to go do stuff. And others are doing it. Now we're just there to come alongside and help where they need help. And so I can give some specific examples later, but that kind of gets us started on
When
what's
you
going on.
say you're going to Georgia, for example, I mean, what does that look like? Where do you go exactly?
So we travel. The first thing we tend to look at are military installations. So in Georgia, Fort Moore would be, it used to be called Fort Benning, would be a good example. Then Robins Air Force Base, and then down towards in Valdosta, Georgia, there's another Air Force Base down there, and then you've got a couple Army posts over in that direction. So the idea would be, let's say we go to Robins Air Force Base, which is Warner Robins, Georgia. So 3 hour drive. Well, you could go out and back in the same day, but generally what we try to do is go down there, be there for an evening fellowship or spend time. Well, here's another thing that's not obvious is we tend to stay in people's homes. Like we don't stay in lodging or hotels or anything. If we pull the trailers because we're going to go spend time somewhere and just be there long term. But otherwise we're generally in a car and we'll stay with people. It is so neat. You know people very differently when you've gotten them to watch them put their kids to bed and, had evening conversations in the morning, coffee. That's just a whole different way of getting to know someone, spend time with them than just 2 or 3 hours, which is good. But we really feel like we leave knowing people better. Like an example, this last week we stopped in Beaumont, Texas. We left here. Our first stop was in Beaumont. Well, our first stop was, do you guys remember Ira and Jody Savoy? Does that name sound familiar? They were part of our church for several years, military, Air Force. They retired and they're now in Louisiana. So we stopped and saw them on the way to Beaumont, Texas, spent some time with the Savoys. Then we went over to Beaumont where there was a Coast Guard family we never met. But she was a Coast Guard Academy grad. I knew she would enjoy meeting, connecting with Tammy, who's an Air Force Academy graduate. And then their family, they have two little ones, right?
Two.
Two. And And it was just so neat to watch them in action because they welcomed us at the end of their duty day, like, you know, coming home, grabbing pizza on the way so they could feed us. You know, you know you're adding stress to their life because they've only been there for 5 months, you know, and so that essentially the house still has boxes in it, but they're welcoming you and you get to see them read to their kids. They're in a great PCA church there in town. It turned out we didn't know what kind of church we went to. And they're like, oh, we actually know that denomination. And the dad, he was in the Army Guard and he just got out last year. So he is studying for certified financial planning kind of stuff. And in the midst of all that, now we know their names. We know a little bit more about them. We've watched the dynamics of their family, you know, wake up in the morning and she goes off to the Coast Guard duties and he's, you know, getting the kids up and going for school. And it's just, anyway, that's a long answer. Mm-hmm. But that's what we do. We go to where people live, to the installations, like in a Coast Guard. An installation doesn't exist, you know, in the same way. It's not like a Coast Guard, you know, the captain of the port down at Beaumont, Texas. It's a huge responsibility. But while they have our office spaces, it's not like it's a military installation. Other way. It's different. That's what we do. We visit people. We visit and sometimes chaplains. So if they're chaplains or an OCF member, or if we get a chance to make appointments with chaplains, we see them. So like coming back home on Saturday, no, Friday night, we saw over in Shreveport, Louisiana, there's a chaplain who he and his wife, we had met years ago in North Carolina, and we've stayed in touch, you know, via phone and other things. And then so we visited them Friday night, and, you know, he's exhausted, tired, worn out, you know, like ministers are. And so they really, they find so much value to have someone check in on them and ask them how they're doing and talk to them. I mean, it's just kind of hard for, you know, us to fathom the importance it is because chaplains don't have peers in the same way. Like in a unit, an infantry unit, they'll have fellow infantry units or, you know, even in the cyber or comms kind of, Tom and I were flyers. So we understand the flying. You had fellow pilots or navigators in the unit with you, in aviation, but in the chaplain world, there are only a handful of them. There are very few and they hear all the problems and they counsel all day and they go out and give and give and give. And they seldom have somebody check in on them and say, how are you doing, chaplain? You know, we love you. And thanks for what you're doing. And so I think having us shows up makes a big difference. But we know we can't do it. So one of the things Dan and I do is try to encourage our OCF members, those who we're meeting with, do you know your chaplain? When's the last time you visited him? Have you told him you love him? And it's not and the main thing is it's not a theology check. Chaplains are not there to agree with your theology. Chaplains are there for the free exercise of religion. And especially in the Reformed, we tend to be somewhat separatist. I'm generalizing Reformed Christians here, but we are so sound thinking and academically strong that we tend to isolate ourselves unintentionally and don't have compassion towards those who don't think like us. And so that's true of our military members. So I'm looking at them thinking, you know the scripture, you love the Lord, you are not going to be like threatened by this chaplain. Why don't you go love him and say, chaplain, how you doing? Because these are real men and women who you don't have to agree that women are ordained. That's not the question. That chaplain is there to make sure that everybody's accommodated, whether it's a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Christian, a Mormon. They're there to make sure that those people in uniform have free exercise. And if we as the Christian church rejoice in our free exercise, we need to rejoice that others have free exercise. Anyway, that's just kind of a way of thinking that Tammy and I do a lot of encouraging people to think outside the comfort zones where people are.
That's good. No, we're both really, really good at encouraging other people, I can tell. So the military is accepting with the free practice of all religions, right? So they're open to have, you know, y'all do whatever you want to do, you know, with officers.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, as long as religious expression does not hinder military readiness, you know, they somebody in uniform, whether it's your, you know, 18-year-old nephew or niece or whatever, or, you know, I mean, they have the freedom by the First Amendment that every other U.S. citizen has. But it is, it's like Jesus' parable, or, you know, telling about, like, hey, on the Sabbath, do you not pull the, you know, your animal out of the well? Like, they fall in it? Like, you know, we have men and women standing watch and on duty every day of the year, 365, you know what I mean? And so free exercise does not mean you get to have the day off when you want to have the day off.
Right.
But it does mean you get to gather and assemble to worship according to your conscience, and it's not mandated by the state, so no establishment clause, and they get to do it in a way that gives them a clear conscience for their worship, to answer it close enough to what you're doing. So they have the free exercise just like every other person, but it is limited in the duties that they face. Yeah, but they are not coerced. And they are free to, you know, just like anybody gets excited about something. You know, if you get excited about Alabama or Auburn or whatever, like, well, then I get excited about my Christ. You know, let me think about it. You know, it's just like, yeah, if you want to share what you're excited about, I get to share what I'm excited about. There's no hindrance in that. Yeah.
What are you seeing? You talk to a lot of officers, obviously, and, you know, folks in every branch. Are you seeing, is there a trend and something that people are struggling with right now, or that has changed over the years when things are so, you know, politically charged and international issues? Do you see something, anything that?
Yeah, I have some thoughts on that. I'm going to, you know, so it was easy for me to jump into what are we doing together. Tammy also is responsible for the women's ministry for OCF right now. So I guess in light of that, amongst the women, what would you say they're struggling with? And I'll answer.
Yeah, so I think mostly women, especially younger women that are at an ROTC unit or an academy or something, they start to struggle when they get to be like juniors or seniors, because all of a sudden they're committed to the whatever military branch they're in. They can't get out of it, and they maybe all of a sudden realize, oh, I think I might want to be a wife and a mom. Mm-hmm. And they, when they're 18, they don't really think about that. And so I see women struggling with their roles, mm-hmm. you know. So how does being a military member or an officer particularly, how does that work with, well, now I have a boyfriend and we might want to get married, and he's in the military too, so he's over here and I'm over here, you know, and maybe I thought I wanted to be a pilot, but now I don't know, because that means I have to be in the military for like 10 years or whatever with your commitment. So I see women struggling with that. I think then they just struggle with what, you know, what most people struggle with, as in, how do I live out my faith when I'm in uniform? But they still struggle a little bit with, because women, there are more women in the military now than there never have been, but they're still a very, very small portion of the military. So they struggle, you know, with how do I fit in and how do I maintain my femininity, but I have to be tough and be in the military, and you know, how does that work, kind of thing. And especially if someone, like, I came in to the Air Force Academy and I was not a believer. And then I came to know the Lord when I was there, and then I really struggled, because then my whole, you know, mindset changed. And I almost left, but then the Lord had me stay, and you know, now we have that shared military experience that we wouldn't have if I would have done. But yeah, so I just see women, that's the thing. And
Christian women versus
yeah, just, yeah. So yeah. Christian women, because there are so few women, then often there are so few Christian women. So it's very hard for them to find each other. And so that's partly what I do for OCF is, we have a couple of retreats a year where we're trying to gather women that are in uniform together so that they know, oh, I'm not the only one out there. We have one retreat where she was a second lieutenant, but She had gone through ROTC at Baylor.
Yeah.
And he walked into the room and there were about 20 to 25 women. And she was just like, this is the first time I have been in a room with this many women that know what I have gone through and know what I'm going to go through. And, you know, it just really touched her because most of the time you're struggling to even find another woman that will. And women, the women in the military are the hardest on themselves. So they actually, instead of you would think like maybe the older women would mentor the younger women, but sometimes they distance themselves because if they're doing well and the other person is not, they don't want to be shown as being the weak person and that kind of thing. So we're trying to connect them. And when we travel, I try to encourage the women and meet with them and, you know, I've been able to talk to a lot of them about, so like I was talking about earlier, a lot of the younger women don't think about their choices of career field. And so, you know, they just don't know what that would mean. And so I'll try to talk to them about, okay, here's what this means if you go into the flying world, here's what it means, you know, that kind of thing. So, that's kind of what I do.
Right. And then I would just add the challenge that exists right now in our culture is that when the executive branch, you know, the military serves under the oversight and leadership of the executive branch. And so when the president or all the federal agencies that the president appoints start implementing policies and come down with training and whether it's diversity, equity, inclusion kind of stuff that they need to sit through, it gets wearisome. So my easiest parallel to this would be Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. When they were in Babylon, you know, they were put over the, you know, if you remember chapter one, they get set apart and then, you know, then Daniel interprets a dream for the king and then he's lifted up in leadership and he says, here are my three friends, and so Nebuchadnezzar puts them over the province of Babylon. So when the plain of Dura, when that idol is being built, it's not a surprise to them that there is a day coming when somebody's going to ask me to bow down to the side. I mean, they are in charge. They are in the executive branch, if you will, of the government of Babylon. And they are probably providing the logistics, administrative help, and the finance monies, or whatever, right? They're in but there's a day coming when you will be asked to bow down to it. And they said, no, it can't bow down. And thus the fiery furnace example. That is where our men and women are laboring. They are within a government they know is going to ask them to bow down to certain things. But they are still to be found faithful within that role they're in until that, you know, day. So essentially, we are, and this was true even when, you know, Tam and I were serving and, you know, is you will be mocked, you will be ridiculed, you'll be questioned, you know. And the confidence is, well, this is where God's put me, and this is where I stay now until he calls me out. And so they need to have a readiness to not be promoted, readiness to not be retained in military service. You know, their hope isn't in what the government and the military will do. And this is why I said, when we started this whole conversation 20 minutes ago or whatever, I said, you know, it's really interesting when somebody shares a motivation for why are they in uniform, motivation and identity get peeled back fairly quickly within the military. So those who are sustaining in the military and holding fast in Christian faith, they're going to be pretty, by the time they get to their, you know, let's say 10 years in, they're going to be fairly well defined of why are they serving. It's those in that 3 to 5 year point that are for the first time thinking, wait a minute, I don't know if I can stay in a government that's you know opposing the Christian faith. Well, the government's always opposed the Christian faith. It's just more evident right now in some ways than it has been in others. But there is nobody cheering for you to I should say nobody. That's not true. There are very few who are cheering for you to succeed in this particular endeavor. You know, from within the government. The government is what God has raised up and has put over us. And Romans 13 says, it is for it. We have the president we have the judges we have the legislature we have because God has put it here and it's for our good. So now how do we labor faithfully within it? It's the question I find Tammy and I asking them while they're out there. It's kind of sobering, but it's good.
Does anybody else have any questions right on the table? How's your family?
Okay. Family as well. So a number of you guys have asked us about Isabel. She's doing well. So I'll start youngest, oldest. Those are the ones you guys know. Richard, he will come home at Christmas. So he's in Texas right now. What's that?
This is being recorded.
That's why I'm being careful. Thanks for reminding me. Yeah, so he's going to come home. He's at Wichita Falls in Texas. So he's in the Air Force, finishing his training. He'll get done with his training in January. And then he'll go down to Tampa, Florida. There's an Air Force base called MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa. So that's where he's headed. Which is not far from his next older sister, Isabel. Isabel and Nick are down in area north of Miami. So those would be the two kids that are closest to each other because no other child is even close to another sibling. So because then it's like a 12-hour drive up the coast to North Carolina where Muriel is. She's a Marine, and she's decided to stay in for another assignment. So we'll see where God directs her steps. But she is, sound in faith. She's still a member of Trinity. The elders that are over her and her church just love her, and her little boy, Elias, they're doing great. So she's doing well. Then up the coast a little bit further in Virginia, our daughter, Eleanor, and her husband, David, and four little girls, they're serving there in actually the Danielson. So Jeff and Diane Danielson are in McLean Prez, and then the church plant off of McLean Prez is where our daughter's son-in-law is there. He's a contractor supporting military stuff. So he does a lot of the Marines and the Navy for some reason. Let's see. And then round two, we have a daughter over in the UK who will go visit in January. So this will be our first overseas trip in many years. So Tammy and I will go over. Our hope is to, if God allows it, we've got the tickets. So if God, everything goes well, we'll visit them in the UK. We hope to visit the St. Helies up in Stavanger and just do a little bit of time there in Europe and visit over there, visit some of the OCF leaders, hopefully in the area, up to Oslo where we have friends up there as well. And then around to Michigan, our son is up in Michigan. He's a civil engineer with the city of Kalamazoo, and they are now a growing church plant, but they're doing well up there. Down in Illinois, we have a son who's a pastor in Carbondale, Illinois, at the south end of the state. And they have a little boy doing well there. And then we have a daughter who her husband's in the Air Force off at Air Force Base in Omaha, Nebraska. So, again, just sound church they're a part of is great. And the family's growing and doing well there. That's the only child that has a horse because some of you know we have horses here. She loves horses. They're doing that. And then Virginia, who you also know, is out in Colorado in Durango. She and her husband, Josh, have a little girl. And they are in Durango specifically. This is amazing. How many of our kids in these church plants? But they were part of a church in Fort Collins, Colorado, that's planting a church right now. So they've not started meeting every week. They meet Sunday nights in Durango, Colorado. And so that's what they're doing. Durango and her husband, thankfully, can do most of his work long distance. He only occasionally has to get on the road to go on site in person. So did I hit her move? Yeah. So that's why I say we're scattered. And so one of the things I was thinking about this really last night, I was thinking about sharing with you guys is because I was just elected an elder in this church, it's just kind of increased my thought of that. The three flocks that I see myself being responsible for, are kids and grandkids and continuing as God gives me this opportunity to impact them and train them and equip them. That's one. And then the second being this missions work we do, which is the military community and literally, responsible for caring for that flock. I mean, that's what we do. We get out there, we are really caring for them. We're not doing aha moments all the time. It's just like daily showing up and saying we love you and how do we walk with you and help you. I am writing curriculum right now. I may just circle back on that. I'll do it on time. Okay. The third flock being now Trinities, you know, and a desire to deepen our service and our work here. Some of you know I resisted being nominated as an elder for quite a while because it's just like it's overwhelming to think about, you know, the work. So just maybe pray for us in that too, that with this new role that we not be inappropriately applying our time and energy because, so we do it well. So last year, so actually it was earlier this year when I met with you, did I tell you about the OCF handbook I wrote? Does that sound familiar? Maybe not. It just got published, so I meant to bring a copy of it at this point. I think I've given you a copy. Yeah. So I wrote this book for OCF called The OCF Handbook. It's a vision for military ministry and how we do it kind of thing. So everything I've kind of described to you is kind of condensed, trying to put in, and the various chapters are things like, well, how do you wake up in the morning and have daily time of scripture prayer? Because either zip off to work or you do that. And, you know, there's a chapter on the inerrancy of scripture because so many of our men and women are coming into uniform. They did not grow up around any kind of biblical teaching. They may come to faith in Christ while they're in uniform. And so we have to have kind of the basics covered. You know, it's like, how do you submit to authority? There's a chapter on that. And how do you host a Bible study? And how do you support your chaplains? I mean, and so these chapters throughout the book, you're getting the condensed version in a sense. That was written. Now OCF, our executive director, has asked us to write curriculum to go with that, which my brain has exploded on. It sounds so easy, and yet I have really had a hard time with that. I'm all over the map, and next week I'm supposed to be on a Zoom call explaining what we've gotten done, and that's really intimidating because I don't know what we've gotten done. I've got a lot of notes. I just stacked them. Piece of paper and I have and I have, you know, stuff that I've written, but it's not at all looking like something I would want to see in action. So it's, I mean, just kind of wisdom for that, prayer for that, because taking that material and turning it into something useful for a retiree who might use it, or a second lieutenant, or a cadet and midshipman, or, you know, making it relevant to people, different phases of life and different services. You know, the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, and Space Force all have different personalities. You don't join the Space Force because you want to, you know, use a bayonet, you know? And you don't join the Navy, you know, if you really like land. I mean, it's just like they have such different personalities out there. So I feel kind of overwhelmed trying to get my mind around the idea of writing curriculum for all that.
Maybe you could lab one of those or several of those here at Trinity.
Yeah.
Think the inerrancy of scripture, we think we know it, but that would be a nice place to start. And then also, I mean, I can remember going to work at 7 and thinking, how do you do all the things you're supposed to do and walk out the door at 7? Yeah.
That's good.
Be retired.
You know, it's funny you say that too, Lynn, being retired, because that's the challenge Sammy and I also feel is we have forgotten how we used to handle some of this.
Yeah.
I mean, like you,
I bet.
You're talking to people and you're like, wow. I guess our kids were 3 at once, yeah. But I don't remember what we did. I mean, just, you know, like how did
we survive?
Yeah, and I think, you know, God gives you know, younger men and women definitely that energy, because I don't think we slept that much. But I mean, we're still alive, and so, you know. Anyway, those are things that were in my mind, which is like, how did we do that?
Yeah. Well, we have the prayer request that you sent in. Is there anything else besides what we talked about or you'd like for us to pray for?
Well, Tammy, I feel like I'm talking about anything on your mind that.
No?
I think the wisdom, like I said, you know, I don't think when I shared this with you that I was thinking about the three flocks kind of thing, you know, our family, OCF, and Trinity. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have ever had a elder who's also one of your missionaries in the past, but maybe that's just wisdom on how do I do that well, because knowing that I'm excited about, you know, getting to know our church and getting to walk with people differently than I've done in the past. But that we still have to travel.
That's true.
And not travel as much as we have. That's one of the reasons that we thought, okay, it's okay to be nominated in 2024 because our travel schedule is going to be dialed way back from where it has been in the past. Meaning, not that we won't travel, but we won't be gone for 2 months at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, this fall we were gone for, Tammy was gone for 7 weeks, you know, and I was gone for about five of that. And those are just long trips.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in 2024, our hope is, you know, 2 weeks might be the longest trip we're on. And the others being much more strategic. I now have learned I need to be here for the fourth week of every month as much as I can because that's when the session meets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that, just getting my rhythm established for laboring well within Montgomery. And there's somewhere in the back of my mind, too, Julie, that I wonder that God hasn't, you know, asked me to do this, too, because in a way, we're still like the newcomers in Montgomery. Like, even though we've been here 10 years, we are not, we still have ways of thinking and doing stuff that just doesn't look like you've come from Montgomery. And so,
that's okay.
You know, yeah, that's what I'm wondering is like,
you know, to the general.
What I mean is bringing that skill set in a way that's helpful and useful to Trinity, especially as I've been on my mind, you know, alongside the other gospel preaching, you know, churches of Montgomery. Like, we do this together. One of the beautiful things about military service is it exposes you to the beauty of such diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And especially within the Christian body where you realize we have sisters and brothers in other denominations, church communities, whatever, that we rejoice with, but they gather for worship differently than we do here. Like the organ would not resonate with them. Or the progression of, you know, gathering for worship, confession of sin, here's a reminder of repentance. You know, that wasn't the right. But we get to labor together. And, I mean, it was just – it's been good, so we'll be bringing that kind of thinking with us and whatever that is. So I say prayer, you know, and those the three flock kind of area, and this curriculum weight. I'm fairly certain I gave that to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then third one, being Tammy's transition out of. So she's been the women's ministry coordinator director now for a number of years. But she wants to hand it off to somebody, as she would say, is more recently out of the fight. Somebody who's worn the uniform more recently or somebody who's been, yeah, just more recent than her. And so that we can then be more intentional together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which she does a great job of anyway. But, yeah, that's a role change for her.
When will that happen?
It's supposed to happen in May, the end of May. Of course. Yeah. Well, I got myself into planning a retreat that's actually in November, 24. So it's kind of like, you're going off stuff. Who's doing that? I'll still do it, but I'm not going to be on stuff. So.
Great. Thank you. That's a lot.
I was going to say, you're going to be a blessing to Trinity. You mm-hmm. already have been.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all's heart and passion for discipling, evangelism, all the stuff you do is something we need to hear. So I think the Lord has sent you to the session really to help us. You know, I mean, you've got a lot of experience in areas that we need training in.
Mm.
Your book might be something
good. We can hand it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hand it out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Bubba, if you
want to
open us to Tom, can you close us? Anybody who wants to pray in the
Lord, we just thank you for this time to hear from House and Tammy and the work they've been doing and on how you led it into them. I'm just so convicted, Lord, that what they have been doing for years is what I need to be doing, what we at the church need to be doing, that you called us the disciple people. And they're doing it in the military and have been doing it for years. And, Lord, that is the same thing we want to do here for Trinity. So I thank you for letting me be on the session. I'm just amazed at all the responsibilities he already has, taking care of this large family he has and taking care of all the military organizations, the different people there, and then just coming on board to help us here at Trinity. So I pray that you would use him in a mighty way that we could learn from him what he's doing, his heart, and where he's going. So I pray that you would be with Andy as they continue to do this work here and as they raise their family and children and grandchildren, and just a blessing they are to me and what we see them do. So I pray that you would be with them. You would continue to use them, and you would continue to further this ministry in the military. Lord, we would love to see Christ as the head of everything, and even the military. But, Lord, you've given us a job and our past. So encourage us and send us out. So we praise you and thank you for this time. Pray this in Christ's name.
Father, we thank you for Hal's and Tammy and their long years of service to the military community. First as active duty officers serving our country, and then with OCF in their role in serving other military families. And Father, we just thank you for calling them and equipping them, and we're just so grateful for their commitment to answer you and answer your call and just to do your kingdom work. And we pray for Hal's and Tammy as they transition in their new roles, for Hal's as he prepares this curriculum material for the ministry. And we just ask that you would enable him to use his special gifts and abilities to be able to just do this with ease and with excellence as well. And we pray for Tammy that you'll enable her to transition out of her the women's ministry role, and just that you would raise up leadership to take over those responsibilities so that she can join Hal's and they can just join forces in serving you together. And we just pray that you'll order their days and their weeks ahead for them as they plan their travel schedule, and just, Lord, give them wisdom so that they're just able to spend quality time close to home and are just able to minimize the longer trips that they have to take. And we thank you for Hal's willingness to offer himself up to Trinity as an elder. And I just pray, Lord, that you would use his gifts and abilities for your glory, and just bless their work and guide them as they try to juggle all of these new responsibilities. And I just pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Father, too, we pray for Hal as he's trying to pull together this curriculum, that you would guide that process and what should be included and how, and Lord, that you would bless that too as it comes together, and then as it goes forth, that it would really be a tool to help grow deeper and faith the people who go through it, and have more of an impact as the foundation is built in their lives, that would go forth and not return void.
Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come here this morning and hear more about House and Payne's ministry. Lord, we thank you for their willingness to serve you and serve others, Lord. And thank you for their intentionality, Lord, and the many, many lives that they have touched and blessed by. Lord, we just ask that you continue to use them now as they transition to a different role, and as House takes on a leadership role in the church. Lord, we just pray that you will protect them and guide their steps. Thanks.
Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this time and for the ministry that Officers Christian Fellowship is across our nation's military, and just the insight that House and Tammy have given us this morning, even into those who labor for you within the military. Father, we pray that would continue, that you would bless that ministry, and that those individual men and women would be strengthened in their faith and be faithful to you, that you would uphold them and give them good fellowship with one another, even as House reminds us of the chaplains who can be more isolated than perhaps anybody else. And yet we pray that you would bless that. And we're thankful for House and Tammy and the ministry they have had and continue to have with OCF. We pray that you would guide them as they're transitioning somewhat in their roles. We pray that you would provide good people in the handoff, especially for Tammy's part, and for House, that you would guide this curriculum development. Help them have just be able to envision how this will come together, and that the stack of note cards he has would be formed into that, into a pattern that is usable and workable. Pray that you would guide in that. I do pray for his transition as in a bigger role here with Trinity Church, and that you would shape that, and that this part of his life and ministry would be impactful here as we value the time that he spent with the Envision Committee and the results of that, and that even for all of us, that we would embrace the elements of that Envision Committee in its various ways, that this church would continue to grow in our service to you, that we would be good stewards of your blessings, and that we would be faithful, and that we truly would have hearts overflowing with the gospel. And I realize that that's a work of your Holy Spirit as much as anything, and that we would be open to that and committed to that. And that even for all of us in this day, we would serve and glorify you. So we look to you for that strength, desiring that you would be honored. It's in Christ's name we ask. Amen.
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 Thanks, Don.
You're welcome.
What dates was it? We leave on the 22nd of January, and then we come back on the 6th. So we'll be in Norway the 3rd and 4th of February, I think it is. So
you're going to just fly up there?
We will. So we'll fly to Oslo first. Visit some friends from all the way back to when I was a cadet. And she actually married, so one of my friends, he did an exchange at West Point for a semester. So during that semester at West Point, one of my good friends there was in the Bible studies and all. She ended up marrying a Norwegian Army officer some years later. We were at this international, every 10 years there's an international military Christian fellowship get together. And so she and her husband met at that, one of those.
He was already Christian.
He was a Christian in the Norwegian Army. And so she's been in Norwegian for many years now. So that would be our chance to go visit them. And then from there, you can catch a flight over to Stavanger. And then Stavanger, I think, we'll be able to fly back to the UK from there. So our flights are into and out of London Heathrow. Yep, and then we'll get to see our kids and grandkids. Yeah, so you know the F-35 is the new airplane that just came in here to Danley Field.
Yeah.
So that's what our son-in-law is a maintenance officer. So he's the commander of the maintenance squadron at Lankenheath where they fly the F-35. So his is an F-35 unit too. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun to see his perspective and his view of that, because Tammy and I spent about 9 years of our career over in the UK there at RAF. RAF is a Royal Air Force base.
How many of the kids and grandkids will y'all see over the holidays?
There'll be just one. Richard will be home, and then Muriel and her little boy Elias. We expect them to see home. Yeah, that's all we know of her. That's all I think. because they were here for Thanksgiving. Yeah. Any of them. Because of the wedding. So.
Really, everybody but Richard, right?
That's right. Richard Littleman did not come.
So the wedding.
Oh. Yeah. So.